Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
A number of men who were allegedly sexually abused by former consultant Michael Shine while children and teenagers have called for a public inquiry into what happened. Shine worked at Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda in County Louth between 1964 and 1995, now aged 93. He was found guilty of assaults against nine boys at two trials in 2017 and 2019 before serving 3 years in prison. More than 200 people have settled civil claims against the Medical Missionaries of Mary religious order that oversaw the running of the hospital at that time. Responding to the calls for a public inquiry, Taoiseach Simon Harris told the journal.ie that Shine was a prolific abuser and that the government will reflect on what to do next. Well, before coming on air, I spoke with Larry Torres, one of those men calling for a public inquiry, and also to Diarmaid Brecknell, a lawyer for Phoenix Law, who represents some of those who allege they were assaulted. And just to say, there may be some content in this interview that follows that listeners may find upsetting or distressing. I began my conversation with Larry Torres by asking him to describe what had happened to him.
For me, an awful lot of this story starts fairly recently. I was admitted to the emergency department in Drogheda almost 2 years ago now for an issue with chronic pain. They had asked if I'd been a patient there before, and I said yes, but I couldn't remember who had treated me. And later on, I had to go back to mum and dad and found out that it was Michael Shine. Over the course of getting treatment for that chronic pain, I was recommended to have surgery. And at that point is when repressed memories started coming up in quite a flurry. The main trigger, ironically, was Downton Abbey seeing a character in it speaking about their experience of being sexually assaulted and how it made them feel. And it was like everything clicked and fell into place. I ended up crawling into the bathroom, spending about 20 minutes between crying and getting sick. And these images became much clearer than they ever had been around when I was 10 years old and Mr. Shine was my surgeon, not being fully conscious from anaesthetic from the surgery, but being back in the bed and I can see his coat and I feel him starting to do an exam on me, but it's like my body can't react because I'm not fully out of the anaesthetic. And I feel his hands go between my legs and he puts his finger inside of me. It's since then, I've spent an awful lot of time going through counselling and going through the process with Dignity for Patients as well, but I've been suffering with panic attacks. I'm now on medication for depression, and it's helped me in a way realise why I would have had this darkness with me since I was a child.
I'm very sorry to hear that, Larry. And it's remarkable, the chronology of it that you outline there. You're 40 years old now or so, is that right?
Yeah, I turned 40 this year. So it was 1994.
So the abuse that you described happened when you were 10.
Yeah.
And then what's remarkable, Larry, is that is it 2 years ago you say you went in for that surgery and then all of the memories started flooding back?
So it was 2 years ago where I would have and been admitted to hospital for the pain I was experiencing, and I was referred for surgery March of last year.
And then the impact on your life must have been, up until then, what was it like?
Well, I suppose I now understand why there was a constant sense of shame. I spent a lot of time I'm going to say extremely disliking rather than hating, but extremely disliking who I was. And for my life up until then, I thought that I had no self-worth. I didn't feel like anyone deserved or anyone should treat me well, or that I didn't deserve that. I spent time struggling with contemplating suicide for a lot of my life, and eating disorders along the way as well.
And now, Larry, you've taken the really courageous step, if I may say, of waiving your anonymity and going public. Why do so now?
I feel as if questions have to be answered. And if this means that those questions can't be answered around why this happened or how it was able to go on over such a long period, and why nothing was done about it for a long time, I think it's more important for both my own personal healing process, but also as a society, to actually face what happened rather than ignoring it.
And did you ever consider taking a legal action against Michael Shine before now?
Well, I've remembered all this in a time when it's not particularly something that interests me. I'd rather, for me, justice is more about that people know and understand what has gone on.
Is that why, Larry, you're looking for a public inquiry?
Absolutely, yes. I feel that in order to get justice for everybody, not just myself, because there is quite a lot of us, that it feels very much like until everything's out in the open, although I know internally this is not something that I can push to the side or say, okay, I'm finished dealing with that. I feel like it would be one of the greatest steps forward, both for myself, but I think it's time, for Ireland as a country to kind of step forward and look more at actually actively protecting the people within it.
Stay with me, Larry. I know this is not easy, so I really appreciate your courage and your ability to tell us from your perspective.
I don't know about courage.
I know it is. It does take courage to do an interview like this, so I really appreciate that. Stay with me, as I say. I'm also joined by Dermot Brecknell, a lawyer with Phoenix Law, who's representing some of these survivors individually. Dermot, you're welcome as well. What do you think a public inquiry would achieve in this regard, and how would it work as well?
Good afternoon. So the public inquiry or commission of investigation can be set up to see how not just to investigate the abuse, but to see how that was allowed to happen in society, how public authorities either didn't act properly or missed this and didn't let it fall through the cracks. As a society, commission investigations are so important to learn from where faults have happened to ensure it doesn't happen again. This hasn't happened. And as Larry said, this was revisited on him 30 years down the line because it wasn't dealt with properly at the time. I have written to the Minister of Justice on Friday, and I await a response. If she was to be open to a commission investigation, she would then move to put a piece of legislation in front of the Dáil for it then to be enacted, and a commission investigation would then be set up into the actions of Michael Shine.
How quickly could that happen, do you think, Dermot?
It's difficult, as always, to put any sort of timeline in politics. At the first instance, we want to meet with the Minister of Justice and show how important this is to us and to the victims. As you heard Larry so powerfully put there, how it's affected his life. I think it's important that politicians and the Minister of Justice see that and that we move forward from there. So initially, It's hard to put a timeline. It's even harder to put a timeline on something that hasn't actually been fully agreed yet.
So I do understand.
Initially, we just want to meet with the Minister of Justice.
The reason I ask about the timeline is the inherent urgency in this, as Larry has described it, the impact on himself, first and foremost, and others, he says, but also that this stall is coming to an end. So it could be at an end before the end of this year or very early next year. So do you want this meeting and this decision as soon as possible?
Yes, simple answer is yes. We don't have any issues with the new doll coming in, but the timings is an issue there. We would like a meeting as soon as possible with this with Minister of Justice to get the wheels in motion and to begin the process.
And if the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, isn't amenable to granting a public inquiry, what do you do then?
Well, we will seek alternatives from her, but it is our opinion, and from looking at this and having listened to Larry and seeing the different criminal prosecutions and different things like that, but this is the only proper legal method to move this forward and properly learn as a society. We'll be making a very strong case, and we'll keep doing that. We'll try, if it have to gather support from the public or other politicians, then we will do that. This is the right legal method to move forward, in our opinion, and we will ensure it happens to the best of our ability.
Okay. Larry, can I ask you finally then, do you have any appeal to the Minister for Justice or the Taoiseach or Tánaiste or the government in general, listening to you today and having received your request for a public inquiry? Do you want to add anything personally?
As an individual, I suppose one other impact it's had on me is that it's left me without faith in the justice system as a whole. And if this means that it can show that the people that within our society, within the justice system, within the state, that are supposed to protect the citizens and protect the vulnerable people and the children in society, this is a way that you can show that you actually mean that.
Okay, Larry Torres, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. And Dermot Bracknell of Phoenix Law, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cormac.
If you've been affected by any of the issues raised in this interview, help is available at rte.ie/helplines.